See, I'll be praying for him, for God to give me a grant me a miracle this morning. I don't turn into a coughing fit. I took a little bit of medicine, and I'm dragging. So y'all might be thankful for that. It might not be as hardcore as it could have been. This morning, going to be a little bit, probably a little bit different message than a typical Christmas message. But that doesn't mean it's going to be any less about Jesus than it would have been. Because, you know, we went through that play and we sang all those songs about a Jesus who came, and we kind of get this picture that there was a helpless baby born in a manger, and that he had to be protected by humans from an evil King Herod. And I started thinking about that later, that, you know, that's the picture that we often paint when Jesus came, it wasn't by happenstance that he came, nor was he helpless when he came. You know, I was thinking later on that, you know, when the angels told Joseph and Mary, like, you need to take baby Jesus and go to Egypt, that it might have been for King Herod's sake that the baby was sent away. Because if he had tried to hurt the child, can you imagine Jesus' last order before he left? Protect me as a child. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you, but whenever we see in the Old Testament that God would send his angels to surround his men sometimes, and that one prophet, Elijah, would even say to his servant, he said, there's more with us than with them. And the servant looks around, he's like, well, there's just you and there's me, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of them. And Elijah prays, God, would you open up his eyes so that he could see? And when he did, he saw the mountains full of angels. Listen, when the Lord of hosts came, it wasn't five angels that was presented up here on the stage. That's not what they saw. They saw thousands, maybe millions. The sky was full of the Lord's host. And their job was to give the message that the Christ had been born, and they were going to protect him at all cost. And they sent him away to Egypt. But if they hadn't and Herod had tried, I think the angels would have come down and they would have destroyed that civilization to protect the Christ child. That's just in my mind. The scripture doesn't say that. But I just know the baby that was born in a manger was not a helpless baby. He was born the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And a lot of times we get, the world wants a baby Jesus, but they don't want the Jesus that was really born. The scripture tells us he was not helpless, but he was born a judge. He was born to save his people from their sins. And he was born, the scripture will tell us, somebody who could take care of himself. If he could take care of himself, I give you this promise, he could take care of you. So with that, I just want to open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, would you just help us this morning to be able to understand your word? Help us to be able to apply it to our life, that we know that as we look around us today, that it seems like the world is just in chaos, that it's full of violence. But we know, Lord, that you can handle this. Though the heathen rage, that we know that you can overcome them at any time that you want. And we just thank you, Lord, that you did come and you came as the most humble presentation that could ever be given as someone like me. But I know that you were not somebody like me. You were a Savior. You were God manifest in the flesh, who came for a specific purpose to defeat sin and to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, would you help me to be able to present your message this morning? I ask for your Spirit to just give me the words and just the comfort over my voice that I will not lose it this morning. And I just ask for your grace and for your mercy. Help us this morning to be able to understand your word and to leave this place serving you with greater than we ever have before. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will look with me in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. We see a picture here of the dragon, and it says, and if you know if you've read chapter 12, and you know that basically the way it starts is that it talks about the beginning stages of Israel. It talks about a baby that's going to be born, who is going to be the Savior, the Deliverer, and that the devil is this dragon who wants to destroy the child and everything that the child stands for, yet he cannot. And he is cast out of heaven. And we get to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seeds. Hey, brothers and sisters, you are the remnant of that seed today. And you have somebody who is waging a war against you. Even on this, as Christmas approaches, the war rages for your soul. And he wants to destroy you. And he wants to destroy anything good that comes into your life. But it says, this is the remnant of her seed. This is how you can tell if you are a remnant of the seed. You are one of them that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, if you thought that whenever I became a Christian, I didn't want to have to fight anymore. Listen, when you became a Christian, the fight came to you. The devil's got something against you just because you are a remnant of this child's seed. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to bring you down. But I want to give you 2 points today that I want you to take home with you. That this child, I'm going to call him a child prince. You'll see why in just a minute with the verses that I give to you. That this child prince Jesus, he didn't come happen chance. And when he came, he wasn't helpless. And I want you to carry these thoughts with you as you approach this holiday season. You know, it's not just a holiday season that we're approaching into. We're approaching into an election season. And I don't claim to be a prophet, but I bet I can just foresee what's going to happen this coming year. It's going to be one of the most horrible election seasons that we have ever witnessed in our country. Because it's not just a war for a position. It's a war for the soul of America. And the devil is wroth. That means he's extremely angry. Have you been so angry that you couldn't control yourself before? That you just wanted to break everything in path? That's not really the characteristic of a Christian. But, you know, I realize that sometimes we can be made so upset at something going on that we just, you know, we just can't hardly control ourselves. This is the devil. He cannot control himself anymore. And his vengeance he wants to take out on you if you are a follower of Christ. I'm sorry if that scares you, but you should not be afraid. Because when you see the scripture, what happened to this child prince when he was born? Could the devil touch him? He could not. Because he didn't come happen-chancely. The scripture says that when the fullness of time came, and that's in Galatians chapter 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He came right when He was supposed to be. The scripture told us when He was going to come in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. He says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks." We were told when He was going to come. You can go back and you can do the math and you can pinpoint that when the time was going to come, that the order was going to be given to rebuild the temple, the second temple, that the Messiah, the Prince, was going to be on hand with so many weeks. That's a whole other story to know it, but the mathematicians have put this together. It happened exactly just like Daniel prophesied to the day. If you want to know more about that, I'll talk to you about it later. I'm not going to go into it this morning, but just know that it's absolutely true that that prophecy came true just as he said, that they had a timeline. The Messiah, the Prince, was going to be here on this time. Be looking for him, Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. If you want to know why, another reason why I say he was the Prince, Daniel calls him Messiah, the Prince. Isaiah calls him a Prince. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." When Jesus came as a baby, he was born a prince. Messiah the Prince of Peace. And that's the way I'm going to refer to him this morning, the child Prince Jesus. He was not come happen chance, but he came right when he was supposed to. You see, unlike us, this child prince was in control of the time that he came. I gave you that one scripture, in the fullness of time he came, but he was even more in control of that. One of the things that we don't understand about time is we think that time has always been here. Time was created in the beginning. Do you understand that? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created time for you and me. We are stuck in time. God is not. He is in eternity. And we need to understand that time is really just a delay of eternity. And he is in control over it. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6, we see a picture here of an angel that came out. And he says, "And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are that therein are, and the earth and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." That one day time is going to come to an end. It's going to close. The time for this world will be up. It has one chance to accept its Savior. It has one chance to accept its Messiah. Today, right now, is the time appointed for you and I to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When your time is up here on this earth, that's all the time you get to accept Jesus as Lord. You will not get a second chance. Today is it. And you don't need to put off thinking, "Well, we've got a baby Jesus." That was not just a baby Jesus who was born in a manger. That was the Almighty God who was born. He was the Lord of Lords. He was the Prince. Yes, he humbled himself and he put himself in a little bitty body and he allowed that body to grow just like you. But he was God manifest in the flesh according to Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Jesus was in full control of everything that was going on. It reminds me of some other times when Jesus would go to the temple or he would go to the synagogue and he would read. And when we see one of these instances in John chapter 7 and verse 30, it says, "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come." Can you picture Jesus? His hour is not yet come, but he's already making people upset. The devil is already wanting to kill him. He's been trying for millennia to take out the Jewish people. And here the Messiah is on hand, and he wants to destroy him. And he's like, "I don't understand why I can't get my hands on him," because his hour was not yet come. And Jesus would preach the gospel to people, and they wanted to, and it bothers them. Do you understand? The gospel bothers people. They don't want it because even though to us it sounds like good news, yes, it's good news that your sins can be forgiven, but it's bad news to somebody who wants to live in their sins and they don't want to be forgiven. They want to live in the lust of their flesh and in the sin of this world. But Jesus came to deliver you from it, and the devil does not want you to be delivered from it. So he is wroth with the remnant, and he wants to destroy them, and he wants to destroy Jesus. But Jesus, his hour has not yet come. Can you picture him trying to reach for Jesus? And it's like he's got a force field around him, and they can't. They're like, why can't we get you? Because his hour was not yet come. Jesus is in control of time. Not just the time here, but his time that he was going to be taken. You know, we miss that point. It was not happenchance that he came. He came right when he was supposed to. And the devil, it doesn't matter how strong that the devil thinks that he is, he could not touch Jesus until the time that Jesus let him touch him. Now, there was a time that that happened. As we get towards the end of the Gospels, if you keep reading, you'll see like John chapter 12 and verse 23. Jesus would answer them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The devil's like, I'm going to kill you. Jesus says, this is the hour that I'm going to allow Satan to glorify me. How is he going to be glorified? He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I will be glorified before my Father's eyes. Read the rest of that verse. It says that when he is lifted up, that he says, he says, I saw Satan fall from heaven, cast out. You read that whenever you get to Revelation chapter 12, that he is cast out. What happened? Jesus' death on the cross glorified him in such a way that the devil lost his ability to hold on to his power in this earth. The power that he has over you, the power of sin, the power of guilt, he took that away from Satan. So that whenever you see someone that says, I can't help myself but sin, you're going to see somebody that the devil, they're still a child of the devil. They're not a child of the Christ. Because they're a child of the Christ, they can overcome these things. And we're going to read that scripture later on that tells us about it. But know this. It was not happenchance that Jesus came. It was not happenchance when he died on the cross. He was in full control over every single thing that was going on. And there's a reason for that. Because he was not born just a child. He was born a warrior. Let me give you a print. Let me give you a verse, some verses in here. This child, Prince Jesus, was not helpless, but he was born a man of war. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3, the scripture will say this, the Lord is a man of war. Now, I don't know if that has any significance to you, but when I'm fighting my daily battles, it's good to know that I have a general in charge. You know, I've been in the military. I've seen what it looks like when it doesn't appear that anybody knows what's going on, that nobody's in charge. But if you can get somebody who knows what's going on, who has been there before, who has the experience, who knows how to fight this battle, who knows how to win this war, you've got somebody that you can look to and you can be saved. That they can get you through. All you have to do is follow their lead. Hey, Exodus is the second book of the Bible. He's been doing this for a long time. You and I, we barely got any experience in it. What, the oldest person here might be in their 80s? You're barely getting started. Jesus Christ has been around from eternity. The Scripture says that He is from eternity to eternity. From everlasting to everlasting. That there never was in our mind a time that He was not. He's always been. But there was a time that He plunged Himself into man's history. He is constantly abrupting timelines in people's lives. Aren't you glad if you've been born again today that He interrupted your timeline? You know, my timeline showed that I was destined for a devil's hell, but one day He interrupted it. He came in on the scene. He messed up my timeline. I'm not in control of my time. He's in control of my time. And he came in and he just chopped it right in half. When my timeline was going that way, all of a sudden now it's going that way. Amen, if that's happened to you, right? That he's changed your timeline. He's in control of time, and he's not here by accident. And he knows what the battle is that you're waging. He is born a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. In Isaiah 42 and verse 13, it says, "The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies." You know, I don't know what you're up against today. I don't know what you're fighting. But Jesus does. And he can fight this battle. And he can win this battle for you. And he has given you this power because he was lifted up from the earth and drew all men unto you. He's drawn you. And he has given you something, some tools to work with so that because the world wants to mess with you, because the devil is wroth with the remnant of his seed, Jesus says, they have made themselves mine enemy. When they're messing with you, they're messing with Jesus. When they're messing with you, they have the eternal God coming against them. Is that clear? Does that make sense? You know, a lot of times in this world we think, man, I'm fighting this battle alone. You are not fighting this battle alone. You have a man of war who is ready for war, who knows how to take on the devil. Yes, the devil is waging it against you. But that baby who was born in that manger was not helpless. He was born ready for battle, ready to fight. He was not afraid, nor should we when it wages against us, that we should just be ready to seek him and his face. The scripture tells us that he carries a two-edged sword. And to the angel of the... look with me in... didn't put it on there, but it's in Revelation chapter 2, or I think. And it says, "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things, saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges." Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us what this sword can do. It is the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Have you ever met anybody that was good with their words and they would wage a war of words? Listen, when they stand before the Almighty, you know who they're going to see? They're going to see Jesus Christ. And they're going to see him with a sword. And when he speaks, he is going to pierce their soul. He's going to divide their soul and their spirit. You know, I often would get onto my kids sometimes that, you know, whenever they'd get in trouble, that it wasn't a good spanking until it pierced their soul. Listen, when Jesus Christ is, let me tell you what that means, that Jesus Christ wants to get a hold of your soul, because if he doesn't get a hold of your soul, there's no change that's going to happen in your life. And that's what he wants. He wants to change the wrong and make it right. And he divides that soul from the spirit. The scripture says that the spirit that we have, if you're not born again, you have a dead spirit. And he wants to divide that dead spirit, and he wants to give you a live spirit. And his word can do that. It divides. That's how sharp it is. That's how pinpointed it is. You've seen some people that have gotten laser surgery, and you're like, man, that's just precise instruments. Listen, his word is sharper than that. And when he speaks, you need to listen. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. Listen, he has control over everything inside of you. But he's given you an opportunity to say yes to him. He's not a helpless baby lying in a manger. He's a man of war who knows how to swing the sword. He knows what to say that will get your attention. He knows what to allow to happen in your life so that you would seek Him. That you have to make a decision. Am I going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or am I going to serve the devil? You think, well, who would ever choose to serve the devil? Listen, if you're not serving Jesus Christ, you're serving the devil. You can try to explain it away any way you want, but I'm just telling you, if you're not serving Jesus Christ, who are you serving? Yourself? You're not just serving yourself. You're of your father, the devil, if that's what you're doing. And here, he is a man of war, and he's come to fight that battle that we wage in our lives so much. The first battle deals with Satan. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he says that I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. I don't know how often you've contemplated that. That's the first prophecy concerning sin and its effect on people. And to Eve, he gives this prophecy and he says, I know the devil has won today, but there's coming a day that a woman is going to give forth a seed. Isaiah, I believe it's, I can't remember which chapter, 7 or 9, that it says, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel. I think we just read that verse, didn't we? He's going to be lifted up, and he is going to crush the head of the serpent. Have you ever done that before? Stomped on the head of an insect? How did that affect that insect? Probably didn't end well for him, did it? Jesus Christ stomped the head of the serpent. The devil is defeated. He's done. His power is over. Yet we continue to give him power over our lives because we don't understand that Jesus Christ has won the war already. We're kind of like that story of that Japanese fighter pilot that crashed on an island. He's there all by himself. They found him, I think, in the 80s. And he was still fighting World War II. He didn't know the battle was over. He thought that it was still waging because nobody had told him it was over. That's how Christians are today. They're still fighting a war that's already been won. If they would just trust in Jesus Christ with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, He has crushed the head of the serpent. Isn't that good news? Jesus Christ has won it. He's a man of war. He knew how to fight Satan. He knew how to defeat him. John chapter 12 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus would say it like this, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You see, Jesus has won it. Satan is defeated. The baby that was born in a manger grew up. And he waged a war. And he died on the cross. And Satan thought, man, I've got him. I finally killed him. The problem is that he rose again. It's hard to defeat an enemy that you can't kill. Satan cannot kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound good to your ears? Jesus Christ defeated Satan. Yeah, that was a physical battle. That was a spiritual battle, but now he's come to fight the physical battle too. In Revelation chapter 12, we see it. Because that was against Jesus, but he's not satisfied anymore. Because he's been cast out, he's lost something. And so now he is waging a war with you. He is wroth with you. Revelation chapter 12, 7-9, it says, there was war in heaven, and the devil was cast to the earth. And verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, he doesn't know the war is over either. He doesn't want you to think it is. So he wages a battle. Listen, a battle is not a war. Jesus Christ has won it. Have you really relied upon Him as your Savior? Look in what Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says. And I heard a loud voice. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. You see, he's been cast down. And he's given something to you. What does it say in this verse? Now has come what? Salvation. Everybody say that with me. Now has come what?
Salvation.
Salvation. Hey, has salvation come to you? Have you accepted it? What does it mean? What are we saved from? We're saved from the power of sin and from the battle that the devil wants to wage against us. Yes, he can be wroth with us all he wants, but it doesn't matter what he does to this body. My soul belongs to Jesus Christ. And when this body is done, Jesus Christ has my soul. He has my spirit. I will go to heaven to be with him. The Apostle Paul would say it like this, that we are already in heaven, that we sit in heavenly places. That when we just leave here, we go to be with Him. Salvation has come through Jesus Christ, through the offering of that child prince and His strength. You know, we Christians these days, they don't seem like they have any strength in their bodies, in their soul, in their spirit, that the world has just got them beat down. Listen, Jesus gave you His Spirit. He said, If I go, I'm going to send my comforter. I'm going to send my Spirit. He's going to have the same strength that I have. He told His disciples that when I go, you will do greater things. And here we are, so easily defeated, because we don't harness our own strength that Jesus Christ has given to us. He's given you His strength through His Spirit. It's inside of you. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says, and the kingdom of our God. He's given you the kingdom of God. The Scripture says the kingdom wasn't coming in somebody that was going to conquer, but it was at least in the physical world, but it was going to be someone who could conquer the spiritual world, where you do not have to be held captive to sin any longer. You do not have to be held captive by Satan and all the things that he has offered. He's given you something, a way out. He's given you that tool. He's a man of war, willing to fight for you. But when I look at so many people today, they're unwilling to even fight for themselves, much less let a Christ, a Messiah, fight for them. They don't want Him to win. They want the earthly desires that Satan has offered. Why? The only thing that I've seen from what Satan offers is death, destruction, despair, ruined families, separated families, hurt families. Revelation 12 and 11. How did they overcome Him? It says, they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Jesus came to fight the spiritual and the physical war. And He's given you the tools. You ever feel defeated? You have a deliverer. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm feeling like the devil has won in my life, I'll look back and I can see this verse not happening in my life. Because how am I going to overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. What do I got to do? I got to think back to when Jesus died on the cross. That child was not helpless that was born. He gave his life freely. No man could take it. I read you the verses that it was not until his time came that he allowed them to take him to the cross. And he says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He allowed them to lift him up so that he could draw all men unto him. And he gave the power to you to overcome the devil and his minions by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, when you overcome Satan and his armies by the blood of the Lamb, you understand what you've got then? You've got a testimony. The word of your testimony. So that those who live in this defeated world, they can look at you and they can say, how did they do it? And you can answer like this, it's by the blood of the Lamb. He gave it freely. And he took it again on the third day. And what he took, he gave back to me again. So that what he has given me, he has told me that I need to freely give to you. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Listen, you can know that. You can know, am I an overcomer today? Or am I overcome today? You know how you know? Look at your testimony. What does my testimony look like? When you can look at your testimony, you're like, Jesus has got me through so many things. And you can look at your life and you're like, you know, I don't even care about this life that much. I'm going to do the best I can while I'm here, but my priorities while I'm here is to reach as many people for Jesus Christ as I possibly can. Does it mean that I get less sleep? If that's what it means, that's what I'm willing to do. Does it mean that I take some abuse from some people? I'm willing to take it. Does it mean that I'm underappreciated? Whatever. It's not for them. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I do what I do. It's because of the word of my testimony, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's because of His blood that I can even think about being an overcomer. And I'll love not my life, even unto death. If that's what it takes to reach one person with the gospel, I'm willing to go there. You see, that's not a mindset that's taught in many churches. That's the mindset that I'm teaching Bethany Baptist Church. That's what you need to have, because that's the mind of Christ. He was willing to die. If it had only been one person who was saved, He would have done it for one person. The thing is that it's not usually for one person. That your life affects so many people. And if even in your death it affects one person, it's not just one person. It's many people. It's because it's bound with the sword of the Spirit that pierces even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, to the bone and the marrow. And God pushes it through you. Listen, that baby who was born didn't come by happen chance. He wasn't helpless. And because he wasn't, nor are you. You aren't here by happen chance. And by the way, you're not helpless. You have a helper. You have the strength of Jesus Christ available to you. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to accept His gift, His free gift, into your life. That was given to you by that child prince 2,000 years ago. If the song leader and the pianist would come, would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for your love and for your mercy. I want to thank you for sending Jesus so many years ago. And I'm thankful that he was not a helpless baby. I'm thankful that he was not happen chance, but you had this whole thing planned up from the very beginning, from the foundation of the world. And that gives me hope, Lord, that even though it seems like my life gets out of control sometimes, that you've got it. That what seems like chaos to me, you can control. Lord, would you just guide me and this church as we go into the new year, that you would help us, Lord, to live for you and to be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And help us, Lord, that we will not love our lives even unto death. Guide us, Lord, in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.